Good morning, Tucson, Arizona. Welcome to Jump in Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, here on 10:30 a.m. The Voice. Very excited to be with you here this morning. It is a great day in Tucson. As we talked about over the last couple weeks, this is high season in Southern Arizona. We had both the Gem Show going on. Last week, we had the rodeo going on. And coming up, we've got the golf tournament. So this is really a happening time for Tucson. For those of you who happened to stick around in town last weekend for the rodeo, as opposed to taking your kids to Disneyland, like probably 50% of Tucson, Arizona, you may have experienced a little bit of weirdness downtown. Last Saturday and Sunday happened to be some of the busiest days of the entire calendar year, right? Hotels are at maximum occupancy. The restaurants are popping. In our own individual restaurants, we had pretty much the busiest days that we've had thus far in 2024 up in St. Phillips Plaza and the Maverick. But a number of the restaurateurs downtown had some really serious problems. There happened to be an organized protest by a group called Stop Cop City that stormed downtown, setting off both explosives, right, potentially incendiary devices inside of occupied buildings, and smashed a number of glass storefronts. Now, I understand public protest. I get the right to assemble, but this is not the right way to go about it for the city. This is a great way to ruin downtown Tucson, something that we're all working together to make better. Trust me, I know these things. Born and raised in Detroit, Michigan, I know what the riots did in 1943 and 1967 to our community, and basically set Detroit on a downward spiral that it still is not recovering from to this day. And so this is something to be really concerned with. We spend a lot of time and effort trying to make downtown a better place, right? To have more restaurants, to have more hotels, to have more vibrancy. And quite frankly, protests like this are ruining it. This is finding ways for families to not choose to spend their dollars in downtown Tucson inside of the Rio Nuevo district. You've got to make a lot of choices. We've got over 1,500 restaurants in Pima County. And quite frankly, you might have a little pause before you choose to go downtown with your family after riots happen like this. Now, we happen to be in the food and beverage business here at Union Hospitality Group, and I've got a special guest with me today, Mr. Josh Jacobson, who also happens to be both in the hospitality business and steering leader of the Tucson Crime Free Coalition. Josh, welcome.
Hey, Grant. Thanks for having me on again.
No, very excited to have you back on Jump in Tucson over here. You know, as I was saying, we're in the people business of processing human beings through our restaurants. You might look at it as the chicken business for Lucky Wishbone, or the hamburger business for Union Public House, or the whiskey business at the Maverick. But the truth is, we actually process people through the queue, right? In many cases, hundreds, or in some busy days, thousands of individuals. And so we see a little cross-section of all of society. Mm-hmm. And we go through a lot of weirdness, right? I've personally been spit on, kicked, punched, attacked, assaulted on multiple different opportunities over here. I'm currently being sued by Attorney General Chris Mays, but also suing her on my own accord as well, too. There's a lot of intergovernmental affairs that happen with us in the restaurant business. And I think it actually draws us a little closer to law enforcement than you might think as well, too, as partners with us, because they also deal with such a wide cross-section of humanity.
Mm-hmm. You know, Grant, one of the reasons that I love you and you're such a great friend is because you're such a well-rounded individual. You get to experience all of those things, and it's just a Wednesday.
This is true. This is just part of the fun, right, yep, of the hospitality business. But where we see, you know, let's call it 85% of the population serving thousands of meals in a day, we don't necessarily deal with that bottom 10 or 15% that maybe don't have the desire or economic means to purchase a hamburger from Union, you know, a Pop's Chicken Fingers from Lucky Wishbone in some capacity. But our friends in law enforcement see 100% of the population, right? Like, they see the down and dirty, even the parts that we don't come and pass with. And I find that over the years, we've ended up having to really partner quite a bit with law enforcement to both help out in all the situations that come across in the restaurant business on a daily basis, right?
No, you're absolutely right, Grant. You know, we might sell food, but we are in the people business, plain and simple. And I always knock on wood. I love it when law enforcement comes into our businesses and have lunch, dinner, and, you know, talking to them quite a bit. We are dealing with the general public just like they do. So on various days, we get to see the good and the bad and the ugly with what we do. Can I jump into some Tucson crime-free stuff real quick?
Most certainly.
And so just to give the listeners an update, we have been extremely busy with the Tucson Crime-Free Coalition. Want to give a shout-out to my co-steering leaders, Kevin Daly and Monica Carlson. And this goes along with what you're saying, Grant, about being in the people business. We've also gotten into the legislation business and the candidate business. And, you know, very briefly, we're always watching what's going on with the city buses because that affects us as well. We hear from so many commercial business owners that that have bus stops near their properties, near retail establishments, all of the issues that's going on with the free bus fares. And by the way, folks, the free bus fares are going to be talked about again coming up here in March. And one of the legislation pieces that we're running, and this is what's remarkable about being in the restaurant business, working with law enforcement, being connected to the community, we're also getting connected to other groups. So there's a piece of legislation that we did a call to action on, HB 2742. This is actually a bill to help protect transit workers. So individuals that are on the buses, that are assaulting drivers of buses or trains or other modes of transportation that are public, this is something that protects the transit workers. This bill is moving through the legislation now. Everybody should go in and check it out. Look at the legislators that will be weighing in on this. And if we need help, the Tucson Crime Free Coalition will be emailing a blast out to our members for support on this. There's several other amazing bills that we're working on, and you can see it at TucsonCrimeFree.com. And I'm really excited to talk to our guest today.
Same, yeah. And don't go anywhere, because when we come back after the break, we're going to have a little talk with a 36-year Sheriff's Department veteran that's looking to help make some changes in leadership on the Sheriff's Department in Pima County. You're listening to Grant Krueger and Josh Jacobson on Jump In Tucson on 1030 AM, The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back to Jump In Tucson. This is your host, Grant Krueger. You are live with Josh Jacobson from Lucky Wishbone and the Tucson Crime-Free Coalition. And today, we've got a very special guest with us. We've got Sandy Rosenthal, running for Democrat candidate for Pima County Sheriff. He's both a Tucson native, a U.S. Army veteran, and a retired member of the Pima County Sheriff's Department with over 36 years of experience as both deputy, sergeant, and commander. Good morning, Mr. Rosenthal. Welcome to Jump in Tucson.
Well, thanks for having me.
No, very excited to have you here today. You've got a big task up ahead of you, I understand here.
I do. I'm obviously taking on a sitting Democratic sheriff, and I'm looking to replace him to save lives.
No, that sounds like a very noble mission indeed, sir. So how does this come about? You've got 36 years on the force. You've recently retired, I understand, as well?
Actually, I've been retired for about 8 years.
Oh, my. Okay.
Gives you a little different perspective.
It certainly does. So what drives you to come out of 8 years of retirement, right? Living the good life, something that Josh and I think about all the time, right? I'm imagining those pina coladas right now. What drives Officer Rosenthal to think about like coming out of that to come serve the public again?
No, this is my community, and I want to make sure that I leave a wonderful community behind. I spent all these years working with the people of Tucson, with the community of Pima County. And I want to continue that. So I believe that we can make a huge difference.
Sandy, tell the listeners, what is your website? How do people find out about you?
Sure. It's Rosenthal, the number 4, sheriff.com. And I am, everything's on there. You can contact me, you can call me, and I'm available, obviously, to the public.
Great. Well, let's get into it. The Pima County Sheriff's Organization did a vote of no confidence against Sheriff Nanos. That is the largest deputies union. What is your take on that?
Well, and let's call it what it really is. It's an employee group. It depends on how you define a union. A union is able to strike and so forth. In Arizona law, you can't strike. So but it is the largest employee group as far as deputies go. And they came out and said they had no confidence vote. But it goes back further than that. They actually tried this to sit down with the sheriff and discuss issues 2 years ago, and he was having none out of it.
So a Sheriff Rosenthal would be open to sitting down with deputies, going to the Pima County Sheriff Organization's meetings, which I understand that Sheriff Nanos doesn't partake in. You would be accessible.
Absolutely. More than just accessible. I believe that it's part of the job of the sheriff. And I think that with working with everyone, we can accomplish major things here.
How is the, you know, you've been out of the game for 8 years, but I'm sure you're still connected, you know, so from your perspective, how is the morale? How is the health of the department for the deputies? What do you see going on over there? And what is it that you would want to improve?
Well, let's start with the first part, which is that the deputies themselves, they are dealing with a boss, a sheriff, who it's his way or the highway. There's everything has to go to the top. And that causes many, many issues when you do that. My intention is to bring things down to the lower levels to allow people to make those decisions to operate. So that will help with morale. That will bring things back to how they should be. The other aspects that we run into here is that the deputies not only are, you know, dealing with groups like we're out there in the city of Tucson today or yesterday, burning things, dealing with that type of population, but you're also having issues at work on the administrative side. So there's a lot of issues here.
Sandy, how does staffing play a role right now in the Pima County Sheriff's Department? The world has changed a lot over the last 8 years. And I can tell you, as somebody in the private sector, staffing is still, in 2024, our biggest issue right now. How short is the Pima County Sheriff's Department of officers right now?
Sheriff's Department, deputy-wise, is short a good 200 deputies. Corrections-wise, they're easily short 150 corrections officers. If you go to the website of the Sheriff's Department, their corrections officer or the corrections director did a YouTube video in which he talks about what is missing and what issues are. He played it right down the company line for about the first 45 minutes. And then he said, well, you know, I would like to have two corrections officers per pod. Well, that's how the place was designed to be operated. You don't have that? And then he said, well, I'd like to have an additional 150 corrections officers. So he played the party line for Sheriff Nanos down the line up until the very end. And then he said what was truthful. And I give him credit for that.
So do you believe that the shortage of corrections officers have led to the increased number of deaths in the jail right now?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And the solution to that right now is to hire more? Like, why can't we just do that? Like, why is it that we just can't have an ad on Indeed or Craigslist or wherever we might go to find sworn officers, lateral moves from other departments? What's going on that we can't source these guys and girls?
Well, I'll talk about lateral moves here in just a moment. But it's more difficult today for people to want to join law enforcement. We have to go out and recruit and hire. You probably used to have a stack of applications for your business, two or three inches deep. That's changed over the time. And what's happened today, current Sheriff Nanos has offered twice now to do a lateral class. He's gotten one lateral. So he's lost 27 deputies to other departments here in Pima County. And he's gotten one.
That's not a very good ratio there, Sandy, for sure.
It is not.
We're talking with Josh Jacobson and Sandy Rosenthal, Democrat candidate for Pima County Sheriff here on 1030 AM The Voice. Jump in Tucson. Your newest show, following up Christy Simone's Wake Up Tucson every day from 9 to 10 o'clock in the morning, Monday through Friday. Tomorrow, we've got an amazing show with Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's bringing in both Blake Eager and Edgar Soto from the group that's trying to put together both the Mosaic Quarter and to potentially bring in pro baseball back to Tucson. We did a show a few weeks ago about that one as well, too. And so Tom's going to follow up with both Blake and Edgar about that tomorrow on Jump in Tucson as well. But getting back to this sheriff's race over here, it's really going to be an uphill battle to go against a former coworker of yours as well, too. How are your relations right now with Sheriff Nanos? Have you talked to him?
I have seen him once. We shook hands. I consider him a friend, a former coworker, and so forth. I'm sure he's not real happy with me. But it doesn't matter whether you're a Democrat or not. The reality is, if you're not doing your job, you need to be replaced. And people's lives are at stake. I tell people this is the most consequential election we have locally. It's not often in your lifetime that you vote to save people's lives. We do in presidential elections when we talk about war, but we're talking about locally about people dying. And that's just unacceptable.
Without a doubt. And this election is coming up sooner than you guys might think as well, too, as we're talking about a Democrat primary. As I look at RosenthalForSheriff.com website over here, he's got a countdown, right, to primary election day. It's only 152 days, 14 hours and 34 minutes away. And that is for July 30th. But that's the actual election day. Ballots get mailed out on July 3rd. And so election month is pretty much the entire month of July. And we're already just about in March over here, guys. So this isn't that far away.
No pressure. Thanks. I appreciate it.
How are you doing on fundraising thus far? I know that the campaign finance reports that came out in January basically didn't show, you know, anything on your end or Sheriff Nano's end. Like, how's that going for you over here?
Well, I have a Democrats, Republicans, Independents that are supporting me. So we're doing fine. We're working towards it. We have some additional fundraisers coming up. And, same. I go out and get signatures till basically the very last day, which will be, in essence, the last week of March. I was canvassing with a state senator last weekend. I'll probably be out with her this weekend and knocking on doors and saying hello to people.
Which state senator was that, Sandy?
Elma Hernandez.
I was wondering, the Tucson Crime Free Coalition is developing a great relationship with Elma Hernandez as well as Consuelo Hernandez, and we're running a lot of legislation with Senator Justine Wadsack as well. So it is really important. It's interesting that, you know, the sheriff is a political race. A lot of people would say, you know, upholding the law should be nonpartisan. And I know we're coming up to the break, but I do want to tee up a conversation on the other side of the break to talk about the border. But before we get there, what are your thoughts? There's so many conversations right now around Pima County needing a new jail. Where do you sit on that, Sandy?
Well, the first response is that it's important for us to do an engineering study of the structure. You can't make any decision as to what should happen with those buildings without that. Are the buildings sound? If they're sound, that changes our category. Maybe we need to look at adding on to Banner or onto Kino South, and having that as a facility for people that have mental health issues, mm-hmm. drug issues, alcohol issues, versus building a larger jail or building a new jail. So we're talking $800+ million, let alone all the lawsuits that he's already created with the deaths associated with the jail. We're talking over $100 million just for that.
And he being Sheriff Nanos causing the deaths at the jail.
That's correct. His policies, procedures, and operations are obviously flawed.
Well, one thing I can tell you is that when you're talking about creating a kind of like a behavioral health wing, an SMI, a SUDS wing onto some of our hospitals that are already in the county, that's actually something that Tucson Crime Free has been talking about with Senator Justine Wadsack and some of the bills that we're running, because we know that there's a huge need. And jail might not always be the best place for people that have serious mental illness or substance use disorder. That might not be the best place to get them back and ready to go back into society.
Yeah, you're correct. And those are all things that we will look at, see what the best answers are for our community.
Engaging conversation with Josh Jacobson from Tucson Crime Free, Sandy Rosenthal, Democrat candidate for Pima County Sheriff on Jump in Tucson. This is Grant Kruger, your host. Come back after the break, and we're going to talk a few things about the border and how that is affecting Southern Arizona as well. Here on Jump in Tucson, 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona, to Jump in Tucson and 10:30 a.m. The Voice. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are joined with special guest Josh Jacobson from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition and Pima County Sheriff candidate Sandy Rosenthal. We have been talking all the latest events that have happened in Tucson over the last weekend. And for those just tuning in, there was quite the social unrest in downtown Tucson this last weekend. A lot of broken glass, a lot of incendiary devices. I saw on Facebook my buddy Ray Flores from the El Charro restaurants posted sort of in jest that he was going to start the Charro Glass Company as opposed to just Charro Vita and Charro steak and a seafood charro, that perhaps he could go into the plywood and glass business and it might be more profitable than the restaurant business. And that to me, guys, is upsetting, right? This is where the private sector needs to step up and to contribute into our local politics in our community and find ways to make it successful. And so one of those ways, I think, is with Josh and Tucson Crime Free. And of course, one of the others is Sandy, who's coming out of retirement to run for Pima County Sheriff.
Well, I certainly appreciate it. Things like this, if you remember back for your listeners who were in the years of the environmental extremist groups, this is the same type of playbook. It's how to damage people's properties for any reason. It's not the true reason, but it brings out the press and they get the press. And obviously that's exactly what occurred over the weekend.
So this thing, Stop Cop City, Sandy, it had been planned for months and months and months. We believe the city had to have known about this. The encampment that they set up on was on Stone Avenue. It's a city-owned piece of property. Driving past it, nobody would know the city owns that. So we're always asking the question, who knew that this was coming? Who gave this group the intel to get onto that city property? And how it was simply just monitored was problematic to us. Grant and I know that with the way that they set up this encampment, they brought in a commercial kitchen that could have been shut down by the county health department. There were several different permittings that they needed to set something like that up. So it is truly problematic. And then they went downtown. They caused all the damage. They caused a lot of damage that's not getting much attention at the Camp Lowell and Swan area. And we know, we've had our eyes on it, Tucson Crime Free. We were inside of the encampment. We saw the type of information that they were putting out along with all of the graffiti that was definitely pro-Hamas graffiti along with anti-law enforcement. At this time, we only know of one elected official in this whole area that has come out and condemned this issue, and that was Representative Alma Hernandez. So your role coming in as sheriff, would you be taking positions on situations like this? Would you be condemning the group Stop Cop City? What would you say about this if it was Sheriff Rosenthal?
Well, first, I'd be doing everything I can to make sure it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
That's the first process. The second process is that if you damage our community, you get arrested and you be held accountable. What I don't know, and maybe you can answer, the people that were arrested, are they local?
Yeah, so great question. Three individuals were arrested. Judge Blue let two of them off with a $5,500 bond, one with a $3,500 bond. They're out.
And you understand why they had locals do it.
Tell us.
Because the opposite would have been if they were from out of town, what would have transpired was they would have been held because there's no reason for them to stay in our community. So That's why you use locals.
So let's talk about prosecution for a minute. One of the things that we hear all the time from law enforcement officers is that they simply feel that Laura Conover is not doing her job being the county prosecutor and prosecuting crimes. We're supporting Mike Jetty for county prosecutor. What are you hearing? What do you think about the job that County Prosecutor Laura Conover is doing, assuming that you potentially could be the next sheriff and you might be working with somebody like her?
Well, I can work with either one. That's not a problem. I have some resources if I need to, if I feel that strongly about a case that needs to go forward. But you know, it works out well that as the sheriff, my job is to make the arrests, and then it's up to the prosecutor. I try not to get into their lanes because I expect them to do their job just as well as we do our job.
Mm-hmm. Well, we are seeing that those lanes kind of mix at times. For instance, with the deputy that was caught shoplifting so many times down in Sarita.
Yes.
You know, what do you think about that? What do you think about all of the other, you know, the rape scandal allegations, the shoplifting? You know, it just goes on and on, even historically prior to Nanos's first term in office. What do you think about all of these scandals?
Well, the big picture of all of it is that just shows the leadership that's going on at the Sheriff's Department. We have major issues, and we could spend 3 hours here talking about those because each one has its own little nuances and issues. It plays back to, Nanos causing a $900,000 lawsuit all because his employee, the victim of the sexual assault, just wants to know what transpired. So the aspect of staying in our own lanes, as we were talking about, that plays out. You're right. You know, obviously there would be discussion, but that would be up to the prosecutor to make that decision as to whether to prosecute the employee, we'll say, involved in the shoplifting. But you do have the right to, terminate that employment. And on the other side of the coin, if you want to be supportive of that person because of that person's background with their family and so forth, find them another job. I mean, you have to think outside the box all the time.
So we've had issues with corruption scandals before in the history of the Pima County Sheriff's Department, right? There was both a store that was run, right, with RICO funds over here. There's been like a lot of things that happened in the previous Nanos administration that sort of haven't been talked about, but you were on the force at that particular time. Can you share your thoughts on that with us?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I retired when he was appointed sheriff. I pretty much got along with him. I didn't put up with the games played. That's why I never rose past a lieutenant in the sheriff's department because I stood up for a sergeant. That also played during a political and election time where he wrote something that wasn't exactly appropriate, but I stood up for him and I will always stand up for people. So we have that, but it doesn't have to happen. You just need the right leader in the position, and that takes care of those issues. We train our people. We work with the community. This job of the sheriff is a broad, broad job. It's not just the small law enforcement portion of it. I mean, think about corrections. There's, you know, in most times, there's over 1,700 employees, and you're dealing with so many variables. We don't even talk about the border because Sheriff Nanos doesn't have anybody working the border. Think about all the drugs that are coming across the border because of the fact that he doesn't work the border and prevent our community from having drugs not only come into our community, but then traverse throughout the nation.
Without a doubt, the fentanyl crisis is as bad as anything I have ever seen in my 47 years of life. And again, this comes from the perspective of Detroit, Michigan, growing up in the crack epidemic in the 1980s. And there is nothing like what we're seeing on the streets, what we're seeing on the bus stops, what we're seeing in front of the businesses and the churches and the schools and the underpasses and just like all over in Pima County. It is quite sad, and it really breaks my heart as somebody that cares, you know, this much about our community. And I'm hoping that we could all find a way to work together to make a difference in that. When we come back after the break, we are going to touch on that border just a little bit more on our last segment over here with Josh Jacobson from the Tucson Crime Free Coalition, Sandy Rosenthal, candidate for Pima County Sheriff, and your host, Grant Kruger. You are listening to Jump In Tucson on 1030 AM The Voice, your home for local news and talk. Welcome back, Tucson, Arizona. You are listening to 1030 AM The Voice. Jump In Tucson. I am your host, Grant Kruger, and we are live with Pima County Sheriff candidate Sandy Rosenthal and Tucson Crime Free Coalition's Josh Jacobson. And we are talking all things border right now. Sandy, can you tell us how this border policy affects us here in Southern Arizona? We're seeing fentanyl on the streets to levels that I don't think any of us have ever seen in our lifetimes.
You know, we in this community, because we are a border community, we're dealing with situations that obviously a lot of communities further north are not. The drugs come through because they like to say, the federal government likes to tell us that it comes through the ports of entry. I know factually that there are tons of drugs that come through just straight through the border. Why would you? I mean, think about just the common sense of business. Why would you send things through the border where they're checking stuff when you can just send it across an open and free border? I don't believe anybody should be a victim, whether you've entered this country illegally or you're a rancher down along the border. Nobody should be a victim. And I will have deputies work all of Pima County, not just the metropolitan area.
And so, Sandy, at this time, you know, there's the Border Sheriff Coalition. Pima County has the largest stretch of the border in the state of Arizona. I think we've got, what, is it 127 miles?
Yes.
127 miles. And as of now, it's our understanding that Pima County does not participate with Sheriff Daniels and the other sheriffs in the Sheriff's Border County Coalition. Is that something that you would be taking part of?
Absolutely. I would support my fellow sheriffs, and I would be involved in it, and hopefully they will support us. Again, you know, it's the business of it's an entire community, and the little things are what matters. And when you fail to do one area of the job of the sheriff, it multiplies and multiplies.
So this is kind of interesting because, you know, a year ago, Katie Hobbs, Governor Hobbs, and Sheriff Nanos, they did a press conference, and I remember that, you know, clearly Sheriff Nanos was towing the party line of, we don't have a problem at the border. There is no sort of issue down there. But, you know, Sandy Rosenthal running for sheriff of Pima County, you're saying there is a problem. How are other Democrats around you? Are they starting to acknowledge that there's an issue? Because our president doesn't seem to think there's an issue.
Well, let's start at the top.
Okay.
And the top is the president of the United States. I can't answer for him, nor can any of us sitting here. I have no idea why we're letting people into the country. My concern is who they've let in. You know, are we going to have another 9/11? That is the big issue that, mm-hmm. that plays out, and my major concern. So we also, if by us not working the border, I'm not talking about us arresting people that have illegally entered the country. The Supreme Court has said that's up to the federal government. But if you bring drugs across the border, that we're going to arrest you for, and we're going to be out there, and we're going to be working with our partners, both other sheriffs, all sheriffs, and including the Border Patrol. We will do everything we can to protect this community.
So real quickly, you know, the border, fentanyl, human trafficking go hand in hand. We have a big problem at the Pima County Jail with medical rejections. As it is now with the booking process, somebody comes in, the booker asks them, have you had fentanyl within the last 2 hours or Narcan within the last 6 hours? If the person being arrested says, yes, I have, then there's two options. Either the arresting officer can take them to the hospital and wait for them, which we don't have that time to do. Or the second thing is basically they are street released with a paper ticket. What could Sandy Rosenthal, becoming sheriff, how could you change the medical rejection process that is so problematic?
So the ultimate goal, I've been through that. I've sat there at the hospital and dealt with that. That's a normal process that's gone on for years. Well, it's time to change that. I believe that within our own community, we have the medical expertise to bring into the jail and make that decision in-house whether somebody should stay. I would like to hire enough corrections officers so that it's not an officer sitting there who should be out patrolling the streets, but have corrections officers there. You actually bring them in, you book them into the jail, and they get transported over to the hospital if that's what our medical staff feels needs to be done. So the quality of medical is extremely important. The jail lacks what I consider a very important aspect of is there are no paramedics at the jail. When you have a life-threatening emergency, who do you call? You call a paramedic. Well, why don't we have paramedics working at the jail? They can be just like South Tucson is doing with firefighters right now. They can be off on their days off and joining the jail and earning some extra money, saving lives.
No, so many things to fix here, guys. And of course, we're running out of time here on this show and this segment. But I want to thank you, Sandy, for both coming on Jump in Tucson today and for your civic duty as well, too, to come out of retirement and run for office. Like, that's an uncomfortable thing to do against a former coworker of yours as well, too. And so that takes a lot of strength and courage. And for that, I commend you, sir.
Thank you.
Josh, thank you as well for coming on again. You're always a great guest host over here with me. You bring great questions. You're incredibly involved both in the restaurant industry and in all of your civic duties that you do outside of that. I have no idea where you find the time for that one. According to Rosenthal for sheriff, 152 days until that primary election. That is 125 days until ballots go out. So get out there and vote. Be involved. This is Jump in Tucson, where we want you guys to be involved in your civic duty. We don't want to have stores that are covered with broken glass and plywood. I really don't want to see charro glass out there on the streets, guys. I'd love to see new businesses and jobs. This is Jump in Tucson. Join us tomorrow for Tom Moulton from the Southern Arizona Attractions Alliance. He's going to bring in Blake Eager and Edgar Soto. They're going to talk all things awesome that they're doing over there. And Ed Ackerley will join us on Friday. Jump in Tucson. It's been great. Thank you for joining us. I am your host, Grant Kruger, on 10:30 a.m. The Voice, your home for local news and talk.